This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph, and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9. It's 9 minutes past 10. This is Jim. I'm here with Pat, James, and Kath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are talking all sorts of things tonight. We have been talking silliness up until now, but we're going to talk about freedom of information and freedom of speech mostly.
Mainly this has come across, I'm sure a lot of people have become aware of, recently there has been talks from Tim Wilson, Human Rights Commissioner, of that they're going to try and stop public servants from critiquing the Abbott government, even anonymously, in any form.
And on their own private social
and
media.
And in their private social media. Now, this actually does already exist in the private sector, though, so I'm curious.
I don't think this is enforceable. I really don't. I think this is sort of brigadio or whatever that word is. Yeah, there's no one there criticise us. But I can't see how they're going to actually enforce it.
Well, they're going to try and enforce it through the Commonwealth Public Servants Code of Ethics. And once you hit a certain level, once you sign up for a job with the Commonwealth Public Service, you have to sign a thing, and you do in the state public service too, saying that you will abide by the Code of Ethics. And the Code of Ethics is that you're not allowed to criticise the government, especially when you're using information that you've got through your job.
Well, there's criticise and then there's present evidence about, you know, and the same defamation rules, I'm assuming, still apply. So if you're saying something that is actually, to be proven, perhaps in the public interest and so forth, I think they would find that really hard to stick.
Well, it seems to me that it's going to be hard to match up with whistleblower legislation, for instance. And so,
is that if you squeal on each other?
If somebody whistleblows about corruption.
Oh yeah,
and they do that on a social media page. Does that mean that they're going to be sacked for breaching the code of ethics?
I encourage anyone to actually do this, and we'll see what happens.
First person to cast the stone
test case
from that one.
Mm.
I find this, and I know a lot of people have been placing this on social media by referencing the fact that this is also the same government that recently has been trying to repeal Racial Discrimination Act.
And telling us we've got a right to be bigots.
Yes,
because that's
exactly
freedom of speech, apparently.
I find it really concerning when a lot of Australians use the whole freedom of speech thing. Now, I'm not saying I'm against that, but it does seem like a very American kind of rhetoric, that phrase. I know that sounds odd, but for me, there's, I've got a freedom of this. It's like Australian talking about that kind of freedom is, I find, really unusual, because it sounds like very American, like right-wing libertarians. Like, I've got a right to own a gun, but damn you people who aren't white or male or straight.
And there is a history of freedom. The Americans have all those so-called freedoms because they have a Bill of Rights, and they think they thought it up. They didn't actually. The Bill of Rights actually comes from a Bill of Rights that was developed along with the Magna Carta in England, when the Lords were trying to get their rights against the Crown, and it was never passed by the English Parliament, the Bill of Rights, but it sat around for years and years and years, and the Bill of Rights was the actual source document for the American Bill of Rights.
And we don't have one.
There's
argument about whether we really need one.
We're one of the few Western democracies that doesn't have a Bill of Rights.
And would that be a good idea or not? But I think freedom of speech, as it's currently applied, is, I think, a convenient borrowing from the Americans to justify what Patrick's saying, which is that there isn't freedom of speech in that way of understanding that certain powerful peoples can be taken away when they're told don't humiliate or blame or target these other people.
But we don't have freedom of religion either in Australia constitutionally.
You are kidding. Or I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I'm going to admit my ignorance here. I didn't know that.
Well, I think it's a good thing.
Does it matter?
Well, there's not. Well, there's not
at
not
all.
And there's just like most
Let's
people.
Let's just point out that Jim is very anti-religion.
So am I. I'm sorry.
No, you're
have
allowed
no
to be.
Interest in it at all.
Please don't be sorry.
Please don't be sorry. This show is not about now it's being nice
is
to
nothing
people.
Sacred.
And nothing is, pretty much.
Corollary to that is nothing is sacred.
I'm a little bit curious I'm curious to hear what anyone who's listening in is feeling about this,
yes.
Because this is very recent. If you want to text in your opinions on 0427 Joy,
you have freedom of speech right here, right now.
So please, please do it because we're so lonely. No, it's,
and
no
email
one loves
us.
This.
Email us on air at joy.org.au.
That's
or
right.
You can call Robert. He's on the front desk. He's doing his stint.
Yeah,
he's back from his week off doing various things at the film festival.
Westy represent, I just got to say. I was so glad when I found out. He's from the West Side like I am. I'm very happy.
Congrats.
I know
you're
that sounds,
a new import to the West.
I am a new import to the West. I'm a new import everywhere I've been, Jim.
But you were a Westie because you were from Western Australia.
I was, yes. Very true.
Oh.
We will be back very shortly after these messages. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred?
Joy 94.9.
Yeah.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Nothing Sacred. I'm Jim. I'm here with Kath, James and Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to message us in.
Oh, have we got one?
And we've got a message.
Yay, we've got one. We've caught one already.
And the message says, it's very weird when Tim, who has been a champion of freedom of speech, is a hypocrite in this instance. It's for Mr. Bolt's case, really. Shallow from a gay liberal like Tim. And that is from a listener who is unnamed. And that Tim that he's referring to, of course, is the Human Rights Commissioner. Who you may well have heard on this station a number of times on Saturday Magazine, where he's been quite a regular guest.
I suppose what the person writing in is trying to get at is that feeling that we can't escape why this has all come about. It was the Bolt case, and the government often like to mention that it has nothing to do with it. But you can't help but feel it is.
To just recap from the Bolt case, though, James, because I think a couple of people may not be quite aware of it.
Etok versus Bolt.
Thank you.
And it comes from a series of articles that Bolt put together, which implied that 9 people in particular
were pale-skinned Indigenous people.
That 9 people were not, perhaps, did not have the full claim to being an Aboriginal person, and therefore the certain at that point meaning that accrues to that under very different circumstances for each of the 9 people. And they took the case, and someone told me who the lawyer was, but I won't go into it now. But they won, and as you do under the Racial Discrimination Act, when you say something that is not accurate, not in the public interest, and not of any value to anyone, and humiliates something and something. Sorry, I've forgotten the others.
Humiliates,
sorry.
Well, it's important.
Something, something, and something. And yes, he lost. And I might add, it sort of can happen. And I understand in Parliament that all these moves are going to eventually be called the Sir Andrew Bolt Memorial Legislation. But we will probably all be gone before that happens.
But the
running away.
But the fact is that what he wrote was that people.
I don't think we should go. Sorry if I can be rude. I don't think we should go into detail about it because it's not really that important. What's he said?
What is actually quite important is that the judge found that his that what he said was wrong.
Exactly.
Not that it was racist or humiliating or any of those things.
Well, it was all those things as well,
but it was wrong factually because
all
these people
interest.
Had been brought up in Aboriginal communities and had always identified and been accepted as Aboriginal by the Aboriginal community, which is generally the accepted definition of Aboriginality in Australia.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't give this person.
Well, I wanted to mention what Tim, because, I mean, this listener did mention Tim Wilson, and as he is the Freedom Commissioner.
Human
Rights Commissioner, I should say. Why do I keep on thinking that?
I think it's how he presents himself as the Freedom Commissioner.
Freedom of speech guy.
Yeah, you know.
His response to the legislation was that if an employer becomes aware of, he basically is condoning the new policy and saying, well, that's separate to free speech because whenever you take on the role, as you said, Jim, in the public sector, you take on certain responsibilities. But I suppose the main thing is, some people who were paid a lot more money are potentially much more able or feel much more comfortable to speak out, whereas someone that's getting paid a much lesser wage has more common things to worry about, such as paying the bills.
Well, people have potentially. People, in fact, have different levels of access to being able to speak.
Absolutely. Exactly, yeah.
It hasn't affected Bolt's freedom of speech at all, I might add. And, in fact, there is a freedom of speech, 18D, within the Racial Discrimination Act, outlines freedom of speech to the max. It's all there as a defence.
Well, I think
but
that's
I think
the point.
That's being abolished as well, isn't it? 18C and D are both going under the new legislation.
C, D and E, my understanding. Well, no.
Well, they're not all going.
That's the proposal, because it's actually out for comment.
It's an exposure draft.
Which is why we're encouraging
moment.
People to comment and take part.
And they and yes, my understanding is a lot of the time it's about changing wording as well. Which is,
weakening it, usually. Yes. It's a very retro move. It's a very unusual move for a government to make. We don't often roll back on progressive legislation. It's very unusual.
I think it's a. It seems to be a common occurrence with this government, actually, that it seems to have this kind of feeling of returning back. And I think there's almost this kind of feeling of, like, the glory of old Australia. I don't know why, but there's all the rhetoric that that Prime Minister Tony Abbott and a lot of the coalition. And let me point out as well that the opposition is not seeming to be very charismatic or active at all, in fact. And I think that...
Seizing the opportunities, it's called, Patrick.
Well, the thing is that the one thing that one should give credit for the coalition is that every single move that the Rudd government and the Gillard government made, they were out there saying that it was the worst possible move in the world. And yet, when you've got the opposition in now... I barely see them at all being present in media. I know they have been there. I know Bill Shorten has been
messy.
There.
I still think the ALP is messy. But also I think in Australia, if you think of the three major parties, ALP, Libs and the Nats, you know, Australians essentially voting for them have got a choice between the right, the far right and the extreme right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. You know, unless you go completely the other side, you know, the independents, the Greens and so forth. But, you know, really, everyone's moved to the right.
But there is actually a reason why Labor might be missing in action at the moment, and one of those reasons is that there's been quite a lot of comment about how the stance of the Abbott opposition actually drove politics into an abysmal hole of degradation and
humiliation and suffering. No, sorry.
In a way that is not a very good. Is not a very good place for political discourse to be, and that if the next government if the next opposition just continues that oppositional stance, that it just reinforces that discourse within our political society. And do we want that to become standard or not?
I'm really curious to see your opinion then, Jim. I mean, we recently, obviously, we had the WA elections, the Senate elections.
I think the people have spoken.
The people have spoken. What I was going to point out was there something, again, that did crop up in on social media recently was an interview with Scott Ludlam, who had just recently gotten back his seat as Senator for WA, and... Yeah, I'm a greenie. But the important thing here was that it was a Sky News interview where and I cannot remember the gentleman's name, basically said it is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, was Scott Ludlam's speech where he basically abused Tony Abbott and said your racism is not welcome in WA.
Wow.
Now, but that is the type of rhetoric that seems to have been in opposition when the Rudd and Gillard government. And as much as I personally adored that speech for everything that it stood for, it is, though, a very similar type of rhetoric to what Abbott was saying against the Gillard and the Rudd government. So what would your opinions be about that, though? Because, I mean, as much as I love it, I also go, well, it's...
But I suppose it depends how much you can take as a person. I mean, I watched it and I thought, you know, as a thick-skinned person, I didn't think it was particularly... I probably could have gone far further, could it, Jim?
I actually think funnier was the Sam Dastyari speech about the game of tones.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
You should Google that. And
that was bagging
on
the
YouTube, and he's
Dames and
it was all
Lords.
About after the Dames and Sirs. He made this speech about the game of tones, which is actually quite funny. It was quite witty.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Hi Joysters, you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's 29 minutes past 10 and we're having a talk tonight about freedom of speech and other things.
It's been really quite contentious. We've got so many messages in, Jim.
We have a lot of messages.
Just quickly, before we get into that, I did want to quickly just say a big congratulations to the first show of Sapphic City, which was on just before us, taking over from Christian's The Vixen Hour, a much-loved show on Joy. But Sapphic City is sounding amazing.
And
all about
Sapphic City was, as LD said, who's the host, uncompromisingly lesbian, an uncompromising lesbian voice on Joy 94.9.
As someone who often gets mistaken for a lesbian, I'm looking forward to this. But right into the messages now, we have got quite a few. This one here is from Joel. Thank you very much, Joel. You can also text in your opinions on 0427 Joy 949. But what Joel has said, hi, sacred team, freedom of speech should not have restrictions. It is impossible for speech to physically hurt. You can be sued over speech that has caused actions based on a false belief, not for the mere fact of being false, such as a lawsuit over damages. You should not be made a criminal for racist speech, even as disgusting as it is. Interesting points, Joel. Interesting points.
Well, that sort of supports the Andrew Bolt.
Sort of does, but
I don't know that it does necessarily.
Why so then?
Because I don't think Bolt was made a criminal over this case whatsoever.
Well, the judge did point out in his judgment that it was errors of fact that he was getting in.
We did say that we were going to try and steer away from this case because of the fact that
I would just like to raise that I believe he was fined, or he was made to pay legal costs.
That would be my
understanding. And he was made to make an apology.
Yeah.
And I, to be honest, you know, I have no problem with that whatsoever. However, I do think that obviously to the gentleman saying that, you know, you shouldn't be made a criminal necessarily unless it is provoked violence. And I think that's something you've got to prove.
Well, that's sort of part of the new proposals actually, and, you know, the existing proposals and the new proposals that you have some fear of your life.
Exactly.
We've also got one in from a regular texter at the moment, by the looks of it. It's quite disturbing that there are gays espousing extremist ideas when they're at the same time they're trying to get support for marriage equality. Are some of us discriminatory? Now, I am of the firm belief, but I'm of the firm belief that I think that everyone kind of gets into this kind of rosy glasses idea that just because you identify as LGBTI, and I probably will skip out the Q for this one because queer does also link in with a political stance, that you are automatically a progressive. Well, no.
And the fact is that most people are a mass of contradictions, and we just have to learn to live with that.
And I think that people, when we lump, I mean, we've had a lot of...
I'm not very happy with queer people that are conservative, I have to say. It's like, I'm a disabled person myself, and I have to say, I say this to my disabled friends, and you can take a kind of queer bent on this if you like, which is, if you want to vote for the Conservatives, give back your rights now. Give back your pension. Give back your nice, accessible housing. Hell, give back your state-funded wheelchair. Because if you vote Conservative, that's what's going to happen. Aren't I dreadful? And, I mean, that's what I say to people. And so I feel the same about gayness and stuff.
No wonder you run lefty pinkos.
Let's all be queer Conservatives. Gee, it's fun.
Okay, I'm going to make one.
Like, for who?
Sounds like the log cabin Republicans.
I don't want them. No way. Sorry.
That's all right.
I agree with you, Kat.
Love the rant.
To join in with the kind of lefty pinko feeling, I will say the other day when I'm doing news, and I did already talk to this about Jim, and I just find it very amusing because I came up with it, and it was when you do news, you've got this really serious story, and then you've got to go into something like sport where you have to be all really happy. Oh, look, someone kicked a goal and they won and they earn a lot of money. And so I start channeling Troy McClure from The Simpsons. And I've worked out that this is my version if I ever do, you know, the hello, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such. And I came up with mine, which is hello, I'm Patrick Wayland Smith. You may remember me from such shows as Yowie and Yuri, because cartoons can love, and do conservatives have a heart? An anatomical journey.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Speaking, I like that.
Speaking of people who have hearts.
You need your own show, Patrick.
I love this one too much. Speaking of people who do care a lot, we do have someone on the phone who's been waiting quite a bit, I realise. This is Axorus. And what Axe has been doing, he was recently part of the protests at Villawood Detention Centre. Hey, Axe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
So were you standing in the cold at 5 o'clock in the morning outside Villawood to stop the transference of people from Villawood to Curtin?
Yes, I actually got there at 2 a.m.
Oh, wow. Well done.
You were featured actually quite a lot. I've been noticing, we're Facebook friends, but I did notice quite a lot that you were featured in a lot of what I like to call those faceless Twitter, those Twitter feeds of conservatives that write, like to write nasty things about people who are not them. What was there? Because what was yours is something like, oh, he's just realized he's spent all his money on his tofu burger or something like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I got all these kind of awkward photos of me at the protest, and it just kind of took off by a lot of conservatives talking about, you know, dull bludges, you know, that kind of thing.
Moving away from that, though, I mean, what was the intention of the protest for people who weren't who were not aware of what was happening at Villawood? Because this happened most of last week, didn't it?
Yeah.
So what was going on?
The intentions of the protests are basically in response to moves by the immigration department to relocate asylum seekers from Villawood to other detention centres, mostly in WA. But
mostly
also
Curtin, which is way out in the northwest of WA and is a long way from anywhere.
Exactly. And also Yonge Hill, Northern, I believe, and I think a detention centre in the Northern Territory. And essentially, the immigration department's the reasoning for this was that there's refurbishments, but it just so happened to collide with the sort of date when these kind of detainees were receiving legal advice, because the department had actually accidentally released information, like personal details about detainees, and they were getting legal advice against the government.
And the court case was coming up in the courts the next day, and so
exactly
these people were moved so that they couldn't actually be brought into court as witnesses because they were too far away.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, the excuse offered by the Department of Immigration was basically that there was refurbishments going on, but There was certainly, like, there were several, like, facilities in New South Wales that these detainees could be moved to. And there were lots of charity, like, groups who had actually offered to house some of these people.
But they wouldn't take it?
No, they wouldn't take it. So, essentially, I believe the first move of refugees was on Thursday. And there was a kind of a smaller action then where some activists kind of like formed a little picket line.
Didn't some activists get arrested for this in the protesters?
Yeah.
Eight people got arrested.
Yeah, exactly. That was the Thursday action. Then there was...
And that brought you out at 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning, is that right?
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be... The moving was supposed to happen on Saturday morning, but we got a tip-off, anonymous tip-off that they would be actually moving earlier, like in the middle of the night, to kind of prevent the same thing happening again, and to kind of prevent like people who've been visiting detainees from actually saying goodbye. So about 50 of us like rocked up between like 12 and like 2 a.m. And we had like a presence there right through until when they actually decided to bus the refugees out.
So I'm just interested to know, so you were obviously you've explained exactly what was going on and what you fear. What we've been talking about freedom of speech on the show, and I suppose an extension of that is the right to peaceful protest. What was the aim of your group? What were you trying to do? Was it meant to be peaceful, or was it you trying to cause trouble there? Were you trying to cause confrontation?
The aim of the protest is basically to disrupt the buses for a period of time. Basically, disrupt the buses for a period of time to kind of make a public statement that there were a large group of people who were not in favour of this. Mm. The buses didn't actually leave until about 10.
10 in the morning for that one?
10 in the morning, yeah. And we actually had, like, throughout the night, it was mostly just, like, a scattering of police. And it was about, like, 50 activists there. And then at about, like, 9 or something, like, riot cops started, like, spilling in. Like, full with, like, with helicopters, mounted horses, dogs. The whole lot.
How many people were actually there protesting? Would you, if at an estimate?
At an estimate, I would say about like 100, 150.
Oh, okay.
By the early morning.
And how many police?
Oh God.
More or less?
There was probably just a bit less. Yeah, it's probably just.
But
a
still
bit
a
less.
Lot. Yeah.
Still quite a bit. So yeah, our attention was to basically. Picket the relocation, kind of stand in front of the buses, make a bit of a scene.
I guess coming towards the end, how were you treated? You know, you were saying that you were trying to be police, trying to be peaceful, but at the end of the day, you were trying to stop, you know, the buses leaving. What were the police's response? Like, how were they treating you when you tried to, you know, stop the buses in a peaceful way?
Was it a sit-down protest, Axe? Was it basically a sit-down protest?
The protest on Thursday was a sit-down protest, but this one was more of a picket, like a linking arm picket, picket where you basically link arms.
So how were you treated by the police, though?
Well, at about 10:30, the police... had the kind of line, weird art line, and they sort of made a sudden decision to kind of move in on us. We weren't actually blocking, like, the route for the bus, because they had actually already gotten in and sort of had their sort of line of police, so we couldn't actually block the bus, but we had, like, a presence. But then, the police started moving in on us, and... It was actually quite disastrous. There was a lot of people were hurt. The police were very heavy-handed. I myself was pushed back, like by the neck, like strangled, and pushed back. One of the riot police kneed me in the ribs, which hurt quite a bit. Many of my friends were also hurt, also strangled. There was, like, apparently someone had the hand put down their throat. There was lots of kicking. And there was also a report of somebody being actually sexually, touched inappropriately. So it was pretty full on.
Very unpleasant.
Thank you very much for chatting with us today, Axe. And good work for standing up for that. Thank you very much for chatting with us and talking about what's been going on there. Cheers. Have a good one.
See ya.
See ya.
Thanks.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred?
Joy 94.9.
Hi, Joysters. You are on It's Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. This is Jim with James, Pat and Kath.
Yeah.
And so we're a bit of a merger program tonight between Lefty Pinkos and Is Nothing Sacred.
Yes.
Are we living up to your expectations?
Oh, this is very lively. This is fun, yeah.
Oh, good.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, we're very pleased that you're here.
Thank you.
As I said, I'm a huge fan of Lefty Pinko, so it's been absolutely magnificent to have you on the show so far.
We've had quite an interesting show tonight. Yeah. We will get to messages. I just wanted to raise one issue with after the last guest, Axe, who was one of the protesters at Villawood, and that's to point out that not only have they moved a lot of asylum seekers who were involved in a court case against the government at a time when they were being called to court to testify, so they now can't be because they're, you know, a continent away from the court. But they also, under the guise of budget savings, have axed a $100 million legal aid fund to provide asylum seekers with free legal advice. And I think that the excuse is, oh, well, why should the taxpayers be paying for these people to get the right to criticise the government?
Isn't this always the way, though? This has been really conservative bashing today, and part of me wants to be the... No, you know what,
You're
screw
always
it.
I'm, too nice,
Patrick. I am too nice.
You want to be the middle ground.
I don't know if I want to be the middle ground or if I just... I'm too cynical to always believe...
Now,
we
have a number of really good messages that I just want to recap.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Yeah,
so one of our listeners has messaged in to say, we live in a civil society and freedom of speech isn't absolute. You have laws for not drinking and driving. You need to legislate against racism and bullying. Words do hurt some people. Multiculturalism has been a success in this story, and why espouse hate speech?
Yay!
It's been a wonderful success story
well
in this
said.
Country.
And this listener loves our reasoned and articulated views. And I thank you very much, listener, unidentified listener. But, I think that listener has pointed out something really interesting, and that is that multiculturalism has been a big success in Australia. And one of the reasons why we have a fairly harmonious, not entirely unracist country, because if you look at some of the opinion polls, they show quite a lot of racism.
But also who fills out those opinion polls is another question. It's who's
asked.
Yes.
But the fact is that multiculturalism has made it has provided a lead for people to go, oh, perhaps I shouldn't say that. Perhaps I shouldn't. And when people start thinking, perhaps I shouldn't say that, then they eventually start thinking, oh, I shouldn't say that. And that eventually makes them less racist.
In a way, I'd like to... the beauty of our multiculturalism, nothing in Australia, nothing like a Pauline Pantsdown would have existed. Obviously, firstly, you had Pauline Hanson to go off, but the fact that it was so well received that they're trying to take this woman's racist rhetoric and make it into a comedy song and a big hit.
I think
that would cool. not have happened in anything but Australia, yeah. where we do realize actually this is not on. But now
let's laugh at it. I think laughter, comedy can be so powerful. Okay, guys, another message.
We have another message from Melina, one of our listeners. It's very disrespectful for a public figure like Mr. Brandis, the Australian Attorney General, to say it's fine to call an African-American president like Mr. Obama a derogatory term. Not a great sentiment or representation of the decency and respect most Australians have for diversity. That's what Melina says.
Well
and
said.
Then we've got a message from our regular listener, which everybody will know that he's a regular listener because he messages us every week. Nurse James. Hello, Nurse James.
Hello.
And he says, really interesting show tonight, guys, and loving the music. Good on
you,
Nurse James.
Well, the music's good, I have to say.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Is Nothing Sacred? With Pat, James, Kurt and Steph. Joy 94.9.
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim and you're on Is Nothing Sacred and Lefty Pinko's all wrapped up together tonight with Kath. Hello, Kath.
Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night, though, from 8.
You will be hearing more of this sort of thing tomorrow night. What are you talking about tomorrow night?
Well, Kath? It's a big birthday celebration. We're actually doing a bit of who are our favourite guests. Let's ring them up, ask them what their political priorities are, what they're doing right now, and sort of have a bit of a banging, arguing, venting sort of program.
I don't know what type of program. I've never been in a program that involves with that. Never. Not this one.
Yeah, well, you guys, it's... Business as usual.
Business. Oh, it sounds like it's going to be fantastic.
And
program.
We have been talking tonight, listeners, as you will know from a lot of people that have been messaging
yeah,
us.
Yeah, thanks
in.
For all the messages.
We've got
Thank
another
you.
Message.
So cool.
Now.
Oh, wow. Have we?
Yeah.
One last one
Quick.
For the road.
And the
Let's
last final message we've got tonight is for those freedom loving fanatics, they may kindly go and live in the USA and move on to more important issues. Don't change our wonderful country to a bastardisation of American values.
Hear, hear.
Well, that is a particular opinion for which one might agree or disagree. I don't actually entirely
I want to know what the most important priorities are or whatever that person said. That's the thing. You know when people say that annoying thing like, yeah, more important things, and you go, yeah, like what? I'm not having a go.
No.
I want to know what they are.
I think it's always works out with what's most important to you, and then you've got to try and I find that really odd. I have this sort of mixture between in my head of when you're voting is that do you vote for yourself or do you vote for your country?
Well, really, it's about the things that for most people that affect them that resonate in their own lives,
it's,
and
it's
we
kind
are
of
coming
though.
We are coming to the end of the show because we're almost at 11 o'clock.
Well,
and
look,
we have to allow the bears who are all milling around outside.
They are. Look, if you do have any ideas about this, please contact us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/isnothingsacredonjoy94.9.
Have a go. Don't hold back.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you to Jim. Thanks, James. Thank you, Rob, out on the front desk. Thank you to Suffolk City beforehand. Thank you, Kath,
from
Lefty Pinkos.
Yeah.
It has been magnificent.
That was such fun.
This has been Is Nothing Sacred.
And
I'll
thank
catch you,
listeners.
Guys, next week.
Thank you very much.
Check
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.